Good evening. This is Carolyn Evers. And we're delighted to be here. You know, I just love being here chatting with you. And so we are. If you were listening to me earlier, you would have heard me speak about the journey within. Yeshua talked about the journey within when he was here, and it is a very fascinating place to go within. There is an amazing landscape there, one that offers many options. And one of them, one of these options of going within, is speaking with Father God. In prayer and in meditation, I know all of you speak to Father God. But going within, there is a method that we can use where we actually can speak with Father God and he answers us. If you would go to one of my websites, which is www.metatronminutes.com, there is a place there where, under protocols, on the left side, if you see protocols, there is something that says Holon protocol. And I'm actually working with an individual that I had worked with on live on one of our Metatron healing sessions, a soul session. And you can actually hear that live. And you can also download the written portion. I'd suggest that you go there and listen to that because it really is very fascinating. There's another way that you can go within and speak to the body. I always wondered about that, going within. It was always a mystery to me exactly what that meant. Part of it, you might say, is a meditation. It's a kind of a meditation. But I'm finding that a lot of people who meditate are really working with guided imagery. And true meditation, to my point of view, is using the mind in a way that resembles a radio broadcasting station. It's a signal. It's like a radio tower. And we do this actively. We don't, what I hear a lot of people talk about when they sit and meditate, they believe they should empty the mind and not have a thought and something wondrous happens. But actually, that's when you are receiving the message. So broadcasting, at least what I'd like to think of as human broadcasting, goes two ways. You actively broadcast out. You send a message out, and you're proactively working with that, broadcasting out. And then you're quiet when the message comes in. So if you're going to speak to Father God, for instance, using the Holon protocol, you're becoming very proactive. You are connecting with him. And it's something that one does. The answer, you then are quiet when the answer comes back. So, let's use let's use an example. I spoke of this earlier, and I think that it's so fascinating. I'd like to talk about it again today in case you missed the earlier show. We all know that we have subtle bodies around the physical. We've seen pictures of it in Kirlian photography. Some people call it the subtle body, the etheric body, the light body. It's all the same thing. And there's three energy bands. The one closest to the physical body is the emotional body. And then there is the mental body and the spiritual body. This is energetic. It really doesn't belong to the hard particles of the third dimension. It actually is in the now. So that our past, the energies from our past lifetimes, is really connected to our subtle body, because those of them are in the now. So when we go within, we have access to past lifetime recall. We have access to communicating with our physical body, and we have access to communicating with Father God. So let's actually give an example and talk about how it's done. We can do this through either following the breath or following the beating heart. There is what I call the heart center, and that is the beating heart, the heart chakra, and the heart mind, and it forms a triangle that I call the heart center. It's also the place where we receive and work with our higher mind, our higher self. So you either follow the breath or you follow the beating heart. If you follow, for example, the breath, you just imagine the breath going within the nose, the inhale, and imagine the breath coming into the lungs, the oxygen filling the lungs, oxygenating the entire body, and then exhaling. It's such a simple thing, but if you sit and do that and concentrate upon that, what happens is you're, of course, you're doing this with your mind, but when you follow thought, Edgar Cayce said, thoughts are things. If you follow a thought, your consciousness is there. It's just how it is. That's what the thing of it is. It's your consciousness. And in your consciousness, you take awareness with it. And what I mean by awareness is it expands. In that expansion, you bring back facts. You bring back information. So if you follow the beating heart or the breath, there is a moment where energetically, now I'm not saying you actually physically are doing this, but energetically, the energy part of your body is doing this. Energetically, you enter into the subtle bodies or the light body. It's a very subtle feeling. And when you do that, when you take your awareness there, be conscious of this. It's very subtle. The more you do this, the more pronounced it becomes. At first, you might not notice it. It's so subtle. But if you do this, your consciousness and your awareness move inside of that energy field. Where it goes is in the emotional body. And the emotional body is right next to the physical body. And when you are there, you can communicate with the physical body. Now, this might seem strange if you've never done this before, but the body has consciousness. Actually, everything on planet Earth, in the universe, in the cosmos, has consciousness. It doesn't necessarily have reasoning ability as we reason, but there is a consciousness there. There is an intelligence there. Every cell in the body has intelligence. And so when we step inside of that energy body, that consciousness, that intelligence that we hold, is able to communicate with the intelligence and the consciousness of the body. We become so involved in our everyday business that we have a tendency to ignore what's going on in the body until the body gives us some sort of signal, some sort of pain, some sort of discomfort. So, as you're listening to my voice, if you're using the breath, just be conscious, be aware of this subtle shift. You're in the energy field next to the physical body. Just sit there for a moment. Maybe the digestive system isn't working properly. Or maybe you notice now you have a slight discomfort in the head. You have a headache. A muscle in your arm hurts. Whatever you are noticing now, you might not notice when you're very busy, involved in schedules, thinking all these things that we think that has to be done. Because we miss these signals. We either miss them or we're aware of them and we move away from them. We forget them. Not important at the moment. But take that moment now and feel the body as you are energetically inside of that energy field. And ask it, why does my arm hurt? Why does my head hurt? Why do I feel this discomfort? Now the answer comes intuitively. And so let's talk about intuition for a second. And this is very important because this is the moment of trust. We must trust to believe in the answers that we get. Now, let me explain how the brain works. We know that the brain is divided. Actually, it's in four quadrants, but I want to talk about the two, the right hemisphere and the left hemisphere. The right hemisphere is where intuition comes from. That is our guidance of our soul. All spiritual information comes in from the right side of the brain. The left side of the brain is logic. That judges, that deciphers. The right and left side of the brain does a whole lot more than what I'm talking about, but this is what's important right now, these particular abilities. Now, when the right side of the brain sends us a message, that's the spiritual answer. That's our soul prompting us. That is our intuition. It is an ability that the soul has. So, in this case, if we're speaking to the body, and maybe we have a discomfort in the abdomen, it might be related to digestion, for instance. And we ask about that discomfort. And we are told we're not digesting the food properly. You will hear that through intuition. Now, since I'm clairaudient, I actually hear the words. But many people are not clairaudient, but you will hear it intuitively. Now, if you start questioning that, oh, what did I hear? Is this true? What is that I heard? That's judgment. That's analysis. And when you do that, all of a sudden you're in the left side of the brain. Well, you just have cut off your intuition. So it's very important when you go and do these journeys within, it's very important to pay attention to that first message that you heard. Go with it. Because if you start asking questions about it, you're out of the right side of the brain. You just have frustrated yourself, in a sense, of getting a message. And so people become confused because the left side of the brain does not understand inspiration, does not understand intuition. And so it's like, well, what is this? I don't understand that. And there becomes a conflict. This division in the brain happened in Atlantis, and there were reasons for it then. But now we have come full circle, so to speak. And it is time to start understanding this and start using the inspiration again from the right side of the brain. So when we meditate, when we go within and do the kind of work that I'm talking about, we must stay in the right side of the brain. On one of my soul healing conference calls the other day, we were connecting someone with their high self, and I told her how the high self sits above the crown chakra. And, of course, her first question was, how high? How high is it? How far? Trying to analyze and pick apart that statement. That interferes with trust. And many times people who constantly think this way have jobs that are very analytical. And so if you're working in a profession or in a job where your everyday work is being analytical, it becomes very difficult. You really have to put forth a great deal of effort. In a sense, you might say, well, that goes against how I've been trained. And so in a sense, it does. But I point these things out because if you're going to do this, what I call interior work, going within, and you have a job where you're using those kind of skills every day, analyzing things, judging facts, you have to take special care to keep in the right side of the brain. Now, when you go on this journey, you have to ask simple questions. You can't expect compound sentences to come back because it doesn't work that way. And it's also another reason why, at least work that I've done with people, why they fail in this is because they expect compound sentences like, you have in a conversation, and the body doesn't work that way. Inspiration doesn't work that way. It usually works with one thought. And so you go with that one thought, and then you ask another question. And that's how it works, my friends. You have to use simple questions, simple thoughts, and then write them down. I recommend that people have a notebook. And in that notebook, you put the date, you put your question, you put your answer. By keeping a record this way, you can see your journey. You can see how your answers have come to you and how strong you have gotten, how you have grown in this spiritual undertaking. It's the same way with dreams. Now, dreams are interior work also. And what happens in a dream is usually, for many people, it's the back door to our consciousness, meaning we're not dealing with issues in our waking state. So the soul inspires through dreams. Now, that's not true of every dream because sometimes dreams are eating improperly, or you're not in a deep sleep and thoughts are wandering around there because you have anxiety during the day, or you might have listened to some news before you went to bed that took your consciousness places, that jangled the nerves, so to speak. So dreams come this way too, and if it's an intuitive dream, it doesn't come full-blown where you have a whole answer to something. It comes in pieces. I remember I had a series of dreams that answered a question that I had, and as I took notes, it took four dreams to actually give me the full message. And so that's how it is. It comes in pieces. Our intuition comes in pieces. It doesn't come with a full, complete answer, like I said, in compound messages. So give me a call here at BVS if you want to contribute or if you have a question. We have three lines here. One of the numbers is 530-327-7602. We also have a toll-free number for our Canadian friends and also for people here in the U.S., and that's 888-815-9756. So give me a call. Tell me what you think. A lot of people that I have found have situations where they need help with meditating. Like I said, they are expecting to empty the mind. And that's only part of meditating, at least that's what I have found. The mind becomes empty or should be empty when you receive the answer back. But the mind has to be active to send the answer out, the question. Give me a call, 888-815-9756. Have you been on the journey, this interior landscape? It is so rich. I had besides the Lord Metatron soul healing conferences that I do with individuals, I also have three conferences a month. One with Archangel Michael. Now, these are more than one person. This is a group. Mother Mary and also Lord Metatron. And I usually receive a message each month from the individual and then a meditation. And what Archangel Michael is teaching right now is how to meditate, how to take that consciousness and move not only inside the body, but outside of the body in the cosmos. And it is remarkable. It is remarkable work. And I was so fascinated with that particular meditation because the feedback from the people on the conference call was just so amazing, how Archangel Michael was teaching this, how their consciousness just moved out into the cosmos. One of the places that he took us was to a star nursery to see the columns of hydrogen. And I know that you've seen that those pictures that have come back from the scientists have posted in different places. Actually, one year that was an award-winning picture of these columns of hydrogen. And so Archangel Michael took us there so that we could see that and be aware of the angels that protected and guided the star nurseries, something that our scientists don't get in pictures. The interior journey is so rich. We will be putting that particular conference call on our page at www.2012countdown.com. It was the most interesting evening. So, give me a call. What do you think? Do you have some hitches with trying to meditate? I know when I first started meditating, I have to tell you, I did not understand it. I used to lie on the bed or on the sofa relaxed or sitting up in the chair relaxed, trying to keep an empty mind. And for me, it didn't work. It wasn't until I started to understand about meditation, how you have to do this proactively. You've got to ask the question and wait for the answer. And it always helps if you direct it someplace, either to Father God, Archangel Michael, your guardian angel. Give us a call here, 888-815-9756. We're halfway through the show, my friends. I know it's fun listening to these things, but you'll finally get around to calling and we'll be going off the air. As it really happens that way sometimes. But in those early days when I was learning to meditate, I became frustrated because I couldn't break through this. And then I found just how easy it really is once you realize that this is a journey that you go within, but you actively ask, you direct your question. Now, for some, if you haven't been able to connect in this way, perhaps one of the easiest ways is to become aware of your guardian angel. Guardian angels are interesting. Everybody has at least one. And some people have more than one, depending upon the kind of spiritual work that they were cut out to do for in God's plan, what I call the tapestry of life. But everyone has at least one. And so as you sit there and you listen to my voice, just quietly think of your guardian angel. The one angel that I said that everybody has is with us through all of our lifetimes. Every time we came to Earth, that same guardian angel was with us. In between lifetimes, that guardian angel was with us. When we crossed over in death to the other side, our guardian angel was with us. And so our guardian angel understands us very well. It has been a long journey. We have held hands with this presence for a long time. So take the moment now and sit quietly. Call upon your guardian angel. Names are not important because sound changes through the dimensions. In other words, the guardian angel wasn't created here. It didn't come from this three-dimensional place where we live. And so our guardian angel came from a much higher level of vibration. And the sound of their name was different there. And as we come down to Earth, those sounds change. So the name is not that important. I know for many of us, we want to know these things. Well, is my guardian angel male, female? Do they have a name? But forget that for a second. That's left brain. Just sit with a desire that you can tap into that consciousness that has been with you all of these many eons. What you might feel at first is their love. Because that seems to be one of the messages that our guardian angel wants to share with us in the very beginning. Their love for us. Not only their love for us, but in a way letting us know that we must love ourselves. So much confusion comes about when we don't love ourselves. And I'm not talking about being egotistical. But we need to share the same kind of love upon ourselves that we would share for another person, because, or other events in our journey. Because once we deprive ourselves of our self-love, you see, the body needs that. The body needs to feel love. The ego, the entity that we are, needs to feel love, must feel our love. And so love becomes very important. It's like a food. It's an essence that we need every day. When we are out in the sun, the prana that comes to us has a sense or a feeling of love. What is out there in the cosmos that's being reflected to us is an essence or a sense of love. And so it helps us to feel very grounded, to feel this love. Love is very important on so many levels. And so our guardian angel, our higher self also, when we seek to bring in the high self, also will reflect that love, that comfort, that sense of fullness, of contentment, of security, feeling safe. And so these are some of the emotions that you might feel from your guardian angel before you actually start communicating with them. So just take your awareness within, just intend. You see, here on this plane, intentions is what counts. In other levels and higher levels, it is the result that counts. But here in this plane, it is the intention that counts. It's not the result, but what we intended. And so intention here on this earth plane is extremely important. We can accomplish so much by intending. And if you go away with nothing tonight, out of all that I have said, go away with that. Intention is one of the most important things that we can work with. And so intend to touch, to communicate, to become aware of your guardian angel. You might, at this first moment, intuit them. As your awareness reaches out, you might just sense your guardian angel. And I am telling you, the more that you do this, the more that you quiet your emotions, the closer you get to speaking to your guardian angel so that you hear answers. As you're doing this, you might ask a question. Give me a call here, 888-815-9756. Let me know if you have connected in some fashion with your guardian angel. If you asked your guardian angel a question, and more important, did you get an answer? Remember what I said about the right side of the brain and the left side of the brain. Don't question it. The first answer that comes to mind, the first bit of intuition. Is your soul working with you, allowing you to connect with your guardian angel? This is such beautiful work. And also, staying in the right side of the brain is where trust begins to be developed. When we get to the left side of the brain, if we allow these concerns, these questions to come in, who am I speaking to? Is it a male, female? How close are they? Where did they come from? If you start out with that, you're going to get confused, because the left side of the brain analyzes, as I said, judges. So when you do this work, stay in the right side of the brain. The first intuitive reply, the first intuitive answer that you get, go with that. Trust it. It is your soul working with you. And I suggest that you work with your guardian angel, because they are so intent on helping us to open up to this interior journey. And it's a beautiful thing. So let me know. Did you make a connection? Do you have a question about it? Did you get an answer? Sometimes angels communicate with us or other information that we get. If you're not clairaudient and don't hear it or have trouble, you don't hear the words or have trouble getting the message intuitively, sometimes you get messages in colors. And our angels explain those colors to us. So I think it's important to develop this relationship with your guardian angel and other angels. There are so many different kinds of angels. They all have specific jobs. The world of the angels is quite fascinating. There are so many angels with so many job descriptions. There are angels that sing to newborns. And I love this. The newborn comes from a place where life is so different. And they are encased in flesh, and it is such a change for them. And so in the early days, there are angels that sing to them, and in their singing, they remind them of the vibrations that they lived in before they came down to earth in flesh. I watch little babies as they sleep, and they smile. And I hear people say, oh, that's indigestion. No, it's not. They're smiling at the sounds of the singing of the angels. It is a vibrational connection. The angel is reminding them through vibration of the home that they left. And the memory of that is still fresh in their minds. And they live in that part of the world for a while, and when they wake up, they're in this part of the world, getting used to that change. It is the same way when someone dies. Now, I don't mean dying from the point of view of an accident where it is sudden, but I mean a natural kind of death when the soul withdraws from the physical on a gradual basis. There are moments when they're conscious, and then there are moments when they seem to be asleep. The angels sing to them also. They're singing their vibrational song. They are reminding them of home. And in those moments, other members gather around the bedside to help them cross over. And so if you have had a member in your family or a close friend, someone that you knew and know, and they have just gone through the death process or are in the death process, they have great assistance. I've had people tell me, I had a lady tell me about her grandmother, how she sat by the side of her bed as she was dying, and how her grandmother talked about relatives and friends that she was seeing as she was in that process of dying. And the family thought, oh, Grandma is losing her cognitive abilities. But the granddaughter told me, I knew my grandmother very well, and I knew that the stories that she was telling were true. She did see these relatives, and I would like to say that people who cross over in this fashion, they do see on the other side. It is part of what happens when the soul loosens its grip on the physical and is getting ready to make its passage to the other side. And so I tell you this so that you can feel comforted. If you had said, have recently said goodbye to a family member, a parent, a brother, a sister, a friend, a husband, they have had help. The same way that the people in Haiti who died suddenly, they had help in crossing over. There were many, many angels there that helped them move to the other side. Life is orderly. The universe is orderly. The cosmos is orderly. It follows certain laws. And some of these, we can connect to this information when we go within, when we travel, when we meditate in this manner, when we intend to go within, to speak to the body, to talk to our angels, to work with our higher self, to call in the higher self into the physical, into that heart-mind. Our higher self can't stay within because it's of such a higher vibration that it only can stay for a short period of time. And so we ask our questions, we thank it, and then we release it. It is an emotional thing. We have a caller, and your name, caller.
Good evening. My name is Paula.
Paula? Hi,
yes.
Paula. What
Hi.
Can we do for you? Hi.
It's my first time calling, and I basically have a concern around property I'm currently renting and have been looking for a year to buy. For the past year, so I've been searching properties, and so far things aren't working out. Finances are not really the issue, and I have a stable job, so that's not an issue either. So I'm kind of at a loss as to is it something in me that's just holding things up, or is it just it's not the right time? I'm hoping you can help me with that.
Well, tell me what the issue is. You're looking. This should be a wonderful time to find a property, and you're telling me that you're not. So, Paula, what's happening that it seems to be the stumbling block?
Well, it's like I've worked with three different realtors, and in the beginning, it seemed that it was so many properties on the market that I had a hard time deciding. But that's not the case anymore, and as time has gone on, interest rates are going up, fewer properties are coming on the market. The ones that are in my price range, a lot of them are short sales or foreclosures, and
yeah.
It's like really tricky to bid on a foreclosure or short sale, and you never know if you're going to get it or not. So I don't know at this point whether the direction is for me to stop looking, continue looking. That's more or less what I want clarification on.
Well, I have a relative that works, that has been involved in the short sale, and in what's usually involved with that is a bank closure, where these short sales come up. And one of the problems with that is if you have a realtor who is willing to work with that, it can be a great way to buy a property. But getting the feedback from my relative who is in the market, what he tells me is that what the problem is that the banks that are foreclosing on the property really don't have a division, so to speak, that works with short sales. Other help has to do this, and it takes a long time to get the bank to respond. And if you just think about it for a second, you have a realtor that's working in the market, and There are some sales that are easier to close, and there are some sales that are harder. Human nature being what it is, human beings like to go with that is easier to work with. So I think if what you are finding is that all that you seem to be coming across are short sales, then your realtor becomes very important, and you need to ask the realtor if they have worked with this, if they have experience with it.
Right.
And yeah, because if you've got a realtor who hasn't worked with a short sale, they might, and I'm not saying that this is true with ones that you've worked with, but human nature being what it is, they might rather work with something that is not frustrating to them, because it takes patience, it takes time, and it takes follow through.
Right.
And
here's what happened, if I can interject.
Sure.
My realtor that I'm working with, he does have experience with short sales and foreclosures. He actually knows some of the agents that work directly with the bank.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me, since I'm at this point running out of time, because the place that I'm staying at has been put up for sale, and I'm going to have to move out soon. He said, skip the short sales and foreclosures. And I said, okay, well, that doesn't leave a whole lot of room for me in this market of where I am. So I would like to look at townhouses and condos. And he's like, oh, forget the condos. You'll never buy a condo because a lot of people are not paying their assessments, and so it's really hard to sell a condo. So I said, well, you're not leaving me a whole lot of options, because I'm a single wage earner. I can't focus on short sales. I can't focus on foreclosures. And now you're telling me I have to rule out condos. There isn't a whole lot left here.
Well, maybe that information about not being able to concentrate on a condo might not be accurate.
Okay.
That's a rather broad statement to say, oh, anybody who wants to sell a condo is not paying their assessments, you know, may or may not be true.
Right.
Now, it seems to me that when there's one bread earner in the family, it does make it more difficult. There's no doubt about it, because you've got a lot of bills to cover. Now,
right.
When I first started, the first house that I bought was an older house that the upstairs was converted into an apartment. And that made a lot of sense, because
mm-hmm.
There was rent coming in every month that helped me pay the mortgage. Now, my grandson just recently did this. He
mm-hmm.
lives in Oregon, and a young man, very clever. I just admire these young people, the ideas that they have. And he bought a townhouse that had several floors to it.
Right.
And what he did was he found a roommate before he bought this house, and knew that he was buying the house, and this roommate that he had was going to come into the house with him. And so the roommate has one floor, he has another floor, and I don't know if he put in a kitchen there or if there was a kitchen already there, but he's doing very well, because he already had the person, you know, to help buy, to pay the monthly payment. Now, you might think of something like that if you can come across a situation where somebody could either, you know, and again, it depends on the kind of house that you're buying. You don't want to buy something that is inconvenient, but you might think about looking along those lines.
Well, I tried that because
you did?
I asked my niece and I asked my brother, who's single, and both of them said no thanks. No, for different reasons, but both of them basically said no. And being that I have a toddler and I'm newly divorced, those are other factors.
I know. I heard the little one in the background, and it does make it difficult for you. Well, Well, is it possible that you could buy something or look at something where sharing the house with someone else might be a factor? In other words, if you could go in and buy something and move in and then find someone else to come later and help you out, is that a possibility?
That is a possibility. The houses that I've looked at, I haven't considered whether the style would lend itself, but obviously that is a possibility that could happen down the road.
Now, there's something else, too. Houses that are in areas, do you have colleges nearby?
Well, I'm in Chicago, and the property values are very high here still, you know, and I'm right by the lake.
Oh, yeah, that sounds beautiful. But you're not, see, I don't know about colleges there, but I know.
Yes, they do. There's a lot of colleges.
Now, there's another avenue. If you bought a house that wasn't that far away from a college where you could rent rooms. I have a friend right now that is, in college, and she is renting, a room. She doesn't have a whole apartment, but she has a room, and the people share the kitchen, and they have certain times when people can cook, but there are several people in the house paying for room space, and they're college students. And of course, you've got to be very careful, you know, the kind of student that you have come in. You have to put down rules so that they don't disturb you. But now that's another avenue, too, to think of. I was just going to say, you have an awful lot on your shoulders right now with having a toddler, with trying to buy a house. And
now the added pressure that my landlord has said, too bad, so sad, but I'm selling this condo no matter what. So, you know, he said as soon as he finds a buyer, I have 30 days to clear out. So it is very pressuresome, and then that's also very frustrating. I call my realtor. He doesn't return my call till the next day.
Yeah.
You know, he
tells
me to stand
by. First of all, the owner of your house, of that house, is assuming, number one, that because he put the house up for sale, that it's going to be sold right away. And number two, he's assuming the settlement's going to happen in 30 days. Well,
right.
He's telling you this so you prepare yourself, but you know the chances of that happening in the market is not that great. That because he put it up, he's going to have a buyer come in right away and they're going to settle in 30 days. The reality of it is, you know, getting money, getting mortgages, having all, and having people move in or move out, that may or may not happen. So
right.
You might have to take a two-pronged approach. Look for another place to rent, and I know you don't want to do that, but you might have to do that until you find a house. Paula, we're getting right up to the hour. I have one more minute, and I wish that I could spend more time with you because I really, really would like to be of assistance to you. Can I ask you to call next week at this time? We'll be on then. And as I said, we're right up to the
top. I will try. I just wanted to know if I should keep looking or not. I kind of wanted to know that more or less.
I would keep looking. I would meditate over this. I would ask your higher self and your angel you see, your high self brings forth opportunities, and
mm-hmm.
your high self can bring those things into place and listen to your intuition, listen to your dreams. There is a house out there for you. I know it is, Paula. There's too many houses for sale to say that you can't find one. And don't get discouraged when a realtor says to you, this can't be done.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's his opinion. How can you possibly
right.
say to somebody, you can't do this, this can't be done? It's his opinion.
I absolutely agree with you 100%.
Call next week. I'd love to chat with you some more about this.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome, dear.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye. Until next week, this is Carolyn Evers. Love all of you.